I found an incredible prayer spoken by the very lips of Saint Joseph himself. It will blow your mind. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So today, this morning, I was praying in my holy hour. I was praying using the book, The Mystical City of God, Venerable Mary of Agreda. She speaks a lot about the life of the Blessed Mother. It's all about her life. And there is a chapter. So here's the context and some of the things that you're going to learn. The context is when Saint Joseph begins learning about the fact that the Blessed Mother is pregnant, and he begins entering into this sort of holy jealousy and this disturbance of spirit because of not understanding the whole situation. This is kind of where it places us. Now, Venerable Mary of Agreda kind of begins giving us some insight into what's happening, and she asks the question, why did the angel appear to him in a dream and not in his waking state? So there's a lot of things that we're going to learn here about what he went through, his trial, and then we're going to hear the prayer, which is really, really, really beautiful, and then we're going to have some words from the Blessed Mother herself giving us instructions and what we can learn from Saint Joseph and what he went through. So let's get right into it. Now, the chapter, if you want to find it, I forget which book it is, but it's chapter 3. The chapter is titled, The Angel of the Lord Speaks to Saint Joseph in His Sleep and Makes Known to Him the Mystery of the Incarnation, His Behavior Thereafter. I'm going to read only portions of it to kind of make this a little bit shorter. It might cause some wonder, and such was causing me, why the archangel spoke to Saint Joseph in his sleep and not while awake, since the mystery was so high and so difficult to comprehend, especially in the present afflicted and troubled state of his mind. While this same mystery was made known to others, not while they were asleep, but awake. Later on, she says, she gives 3 reasons. Listen to the third reason why. The third reason is, as it were, a sequence of this last one. Saint Joseph, although he was guilty of no fault, was under the influence of his affliction, and his senses were, so to say, deadened and incapacitated for the sensible perception and intercourse of the angel. Therefore, it was befitting that the angel deliver this message to him at a time when the senses, which had been scandalized, were inactive and suspended in their operations. Now, that's let me kind of interpret what that means. Essentially, she's saying that whenever we need to come into communication with God, we need to be completely of calm mind, heart, and spirit. Whenever our spirit and our mind are disturbed or anxious or in fear, we're not in a proper state to receive communications from God. We cannot hear God. Our ears are not attuned to hearing God unless we are completely calm. Him learning, you could imagine, that Mary was pregnant and that it wasn't him, caused him to go into this state of being disturbed and anxious and not able or be disposed to listen to God speaking to him. Now, let's continue listening to what she says. The explanation of this fact is this: since according to the divine ordainment, the greatest impediment and obstacle of a more familiar intercourse and converse of the souls with God and his angels is the commission of sins, even venial sins, or even only imperfections. It follows that after the divine word became man and conversed with mortals, the senses and all our faculties are purified day by day by the sanctifying use of sensible sacraments. So this is explaining that the sacraments greatly empower us to communicate more openly with God. But listen to what she says next. It will also appear from this doctrine that in order to receive the hidden favor of the Lord, men must not only be free from guilt and possess merits and grace, but that they also be in peace and tranquility of spirit, what I was saying earlier. For if the republic of the faculties is in disturbance, as it was in Saint Joseph, the soul is not in a fit condition to receive such exalted and delicate influences as are implied by the visits and the caresses of the Lord. In other words, you want to listen to God and hear God more, you got to put your spirit in a state of peace and tranquility. Very essential. Now let's continue moving on to when he begins his prayer. Now this is a prayer that he had just after his dream, when the angel reassures him that all is well, that this is something of God and not a sin. He says the following: O my heavenly spouse and meekest dove, chosen by the Most High for his dwelling place and for his mother, how could thy unworthy slave have dared to doubt thy fidelity? How could dust and ashes ever permit itself to be served by her who is the Queen of heaven and earth and the mistress of the universe, how is it that I have not kissed the ground which touches by thy feet? Why have I not made it my most solicitous care to serve thee on my knees? How will I ever raise my eyes in thy presence and dare to remain in thy company or open my lips to speak to thee? O my Lord and God, give me grace and strength to ask her forgiveness and move her heart to mercy, that she do not despise her sorrowful servant according to his guilt. And woe is me, since she is full of light and grace, and she bears within herself the author of light. All my thoughts were open to her sight, also that I had in mind actually to leave her. Hence it will be my temerity on my part to appear in her presence. I now recognize my rude behavior and my gross error, since even with such great holiness before my eyes, I gave way to unworthy thoughts and doubts concerning her fidelity, which I did not deserve. And if in punishment thy justice had permitted me to execute my presumptuous resolve, what would now be my misfortune? Eternally be thanked, most high Lord, for such great blessing. Assist me, most powerful King, to make some kind of reparation. I will go to my spouse and lady, confiding in her sweetness and clemency. Prostrate at her feet, I will ask her pardon, so that for her sake, thou, my eternal Lord and God, mayest look upon me with the eyes of a father, and mayest pardon my gross error. Notice the overflowing humility that he has in that prayer, wanting to throw himself at the feet of Our Lady. Absolutely beautiful, something for us to deeply imitate and to say ourselves. Now listen to the advice from the Blessed Mother. This is really important because it kind of concludes everything that I'm saying. The Most High does not wish to see the creatures disturbed by afflictions, but that they gain merit, not that they lose courage. So that's in the context of her saying that in any situation that we're in, it doesn't matter what it is, in anything, if the world is falling apart and cracking open and all of hell is being poured out, God does not want us to be disturbed by afflictions, but rather to have equanimity, to have a calm spirit no matter what. We never should give in to fear or anxiety, ever. God does not want that. So if you're in a situation of stress or anxiety, or your children or your whole world is falling apart, do not give in to fear and anxiety. That is a massive lesson. God does not want that for you. Who can intercede for you so that you could have equanimity, which means peace of mind, heart, soul, and spirit, especially in difficult situations? Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph can obtain that for you because he gained merit in that situation. Listen to what the Blessed Mother says next. Yet if the soul loses its interior tranquility and equilibrium, it will make itself unfit for the visit of the Lord, for hearing his voice, and for being raised up to his embraces. The majesty does not come in a storm cloud, nor will the rays of his supreme Son of Justice shine when calm is not reigning in the soul. Do you want God to come? Do you want God to show up? Do you want God's rays of sunshine to shine in you? You have to be calm of spirit. Awesome! Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's all that I have to say about that. And then she goes on to say, if Saint Joseph was humble enough to humble himself as he did in his prayer, who are we who are worms of the earth to not humble ourselves whenever we make mistakes? Another amazing lesson. Happy Feast of Saint Joseph. God bless you, and I'll see you in the next one.